Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going to try and cut through some jargon. We're looking at assurance engagements.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds technical, but it's really about how trust gets built around important information, you know, especially in business.
Exactly. How do you know if you can rely on something?
Right. And we're pulling insights from an Introduction to Assurance Masterclass here, kind of giving you a shortcut to understanding how stuff gets verified.
A very useful shortcut.
So let's just jump in. This word, assurance. Mm-hmm. What does it actually mean beyond, you know, something accountants say a lot?
Well, at its heart, assurance is basically an independent review. Someone, a practitioner, gathers evidence.
Okay.
And then they give a conclusion about some specific information. And the whole point is to boost your confidence as someone using that info that it's, well, reliable.
So it's about making you feel safer about the fact.
Precisely. It's about reducing the risk that the information you're basing decisions on is, you know, wrong. Dialing down that information risk.
Okay, let's unpack this a bit then. You said it needs to be credible. So I imagine there are some like essential building blocks, things you have to have.
Absolutely. Great question. You can think of it like quality control for information. There are five non-negotiables.
Five.
First, you need three distinct parties. There's the practitioner, that's the reviewer.
Got it.
Then the responsible party, the ones who actually prepared the information.
Right, who it came from.
And crucially, the intended users.
Mm-hmm.
They're the decision makers who need to trust it. That separation is key for independence.
Makes sense. What else?
Then you need the subject matter itself. What information are we actually looking at? And suitable criteria. What rules or standards are we judging it against, like accounting standards or laws?
Okay, the benchmark.
Exactly. And then you need enough good evidence, sufficient and appropriate proof. You can't just guess.
Right.
And finally, it all gets wrapped up in a written assurance report. That's the formal output with the conclusion. Without all five, it's not really a proper assurance engagement.
Okay, that framework makes sense. Now, I heard, well, you mentioned earlier that not all assurance gives you the same level of confidence.
Yes. Here's where it gets really interesting. Not all assurance is created equal. There are two main types.
Two types. Okay.
Think of it like this. You've got reasonable assurance. This is the high level stuff.
High level. Okay.
Yeah. Imagine getting a really thorough checkup. The practitioner does extensive procedures, lots of testing. The opinion they give is positively worded.
Positively worded. Like,
in our opinion, the financial statements give a true and fair view. It expresses strong confidence. The classic example is an external audit.
Okay, the full audit. Got it. What's the other one?
The other one is limited assurance.
Mm.
This gives you a more moderate or sometimes lower level of confidence.
Why?
Because the procedures are much less extensive. It's often just asking questions and doing some analytical checks. Think of it more like a quick look over.
So less digging involved.
Much less. And the conclusion reflects that. It's negatively worded.
Negatively? How so?
It'll say something like, nothing has come to our attention that causes us to believe these financials are materially misstated. See the difference? It's not saying they are right, just that nothing looks wrong based on limited work.
Ah, okay. Nothing looks wrong versus we think this looks right. That is a big difference in feeling.
It's huge. Review engagements are a common example of limited assurance. Sometimes companies choose this. Maybe it's cheaper or voluntary.
Right. So that wording difference really matters for how much you should trust something. Let's focus on that reasonable assurance one, the external audit.
Good idea. External audits are key. Their main job is boosting confidence in financial statements. They give that opinion on whether they show a true and fair view.
True and fair. What do those mean exactly?
True basically means factually correct, conforms to the accounting standards, the rules.
Okay. Facts and rules.
And fair is about the presentation. Is it clear? Impartial? Does it reflect the real economic substance of what happened, not just the legal form?
Got it. So for you, the person reading these reports or relying on this info, what's the big benefit?
Well, the idea is you get higher quality information. You get that independent check, reducing the risk of bias, maybe even catching errors or fraud. It adds credibility.
But I mean, audits aren't magic, right? They don't guarantee everything's perfect.
Absolutely not. And that's crucial to understand. Audits have limitations. They deal with estimates, which are subjective.
Mm-hmm.
Internal controls, which companies use to prevent errors, can be overridden or fail. The evidence auditors get is usually persuasive, not like conclusive proof.
Persuasive, not conclusive.
And they test on a sample basis. They don't check every single transaction. It's usually just not feasible. Plus, reports come out after the fact, so timeliness can be an issue. Audits reduce risk. They don't eliminate it. No absolute assurance.
And that leads to this thing I've heard called the expectation gap.
Exactly. The expectation gap. It's this mismatch between what people think an audit does, like finding all fraud, testing everything, or even preparing the financials.
Right. People might think the auditors wrote the report.
Yeah, which they don't. And what the audit actually delivers according to the standards. There's often a big gap there.
Why does that gap even exist? Why do we need audits in the first place, really?
It comes down to some fundamental ideas. Accountability, agency, stewardship. Think about a company. The directors, they're like agents or stewards.
Right.
They're managing the company's resources on behalf of the shareholders, who are the principals, the owners.
Right. The directors work for the shareholders?
In theory, yes. There's a fiduciary relationship, a duty of good faith and trust. The directors are accountable to the shareholders. Audits provide that independent check, that assurance that the information the directors are providing back to the shareholders is reliable. It helps bridge that potential trust gap.
So wrapping this up, we've seen how assurance, fundamentally, is about reducing that risk around information. And critically, the type of assurance tells you how much confidence you should really have.
Exactly. Reasonable or limited makes a world of difference.
So a final thought for you listening.
Yeah, maybe think about this. The next time you encounter information that's been checked or verified, could be anything, a product review online, a news headline, maybe even something related to an investment.
Mm-hmm.
Ask yourself, based on what you now know, was that likely a reasonable assurance deep dive or more of a limited assurance quick glance? Because understanding that difference, well, it might just change how you evaluate that information.
Right.